the Word of God, as we think this fall about how to grow in our relationship with God, how to be growing Christians, we're going to conclude today this series by focusing in how it's the Word of God that enables us to be growing Christians. The Word of God. And the reason this is so important is that there seems to be a diminishing appreciation for use of the Word of God in our culture. You think about evangelical Christianity, it used to be known as people of the Word, people of the Bible. And it seems to have lost that emphasis. I want to encourage you today to be people of the Word of God. That if your reputation was being questioned, if people were asking about you and people were talking about you in the community, the thing that they would say, well, he's that person that really believes the Bible. She's that woman that really is into the Bible. If that became what you were known for, how might that change your life? How might that impact the way that you are seen? Our call to worship verse struck me as I came across it a few weeks ago. It's Isaiah 66, verse 2. This is the one upon whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite. Okay, that makes sense. But notice this last thing it adds. And he who trembles at my word. He who trembles at my word. When God speaks, the people of God pay attention. When God speaks, the people of God stop and listen. When God speaks, the people of God let go of the distractions, focus in on what God is saying, and do all they can to be receptive to God's voice. This is the one whom I will look. Or another way of saying it, this is the one I will esteem. This is the one I will lift up, God is saying. It's the one who trembles at my word. Make that your prayer as we start this morning. Lord, make me a man, make me a woman who trembles at your word. Who trembles at your word. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God is giving instructions through Moses to the people. And they had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. They needed to be retrained. And God was trying to explain to them what it meant to become people who live for God. And this is what he said to them in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, these words should always be in front of you. These words should always be something that you are noticing, paying attention to. They should always be the center of your attention. God's words. God is telling the people of Israel, what distinguishes you from all the rest of the peoples that you've received my word, now value it. Now honor it. Now make it front and center in your lives. Why would we act this way? Paul tells us in his epistle letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy, he gives us this wonderful description of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he writes, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. What's he saying there? Scripture is not the ideas that float around in the universe and just happen to filter down. Scripture is not an idea that bubbles up inside of a man. Scripture is God's thoughts breathed out by God through God's people, recorded for us so we receive the very mind of God. All scripture is God-breathed. and therefore is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, or complete and equipped for every good work. As I look at each of you this morning and those who are listening in, I want you to be people who are thoroughly equipped for every good work. I want you not just to be barely getting by, not just coasting along and not just eking out an existence, but people who are thriving, people who are successful, who are accomplishing God's will for your lives. And what's going to help you do that? What's going to help you be a successful, growing Christian? It's the Word of God. I benefited from having an older brother who turned wholeheartedly towards the Lord as a young adult, and I got to watch that happen. He went off to Bible college and pursued Jesus before me with intensity and set a good example. But one of the things he told me a few years into that whole process was he admitted that he'd become a Bible-olater. Might not be exactly how he pronounced it, but he'd made the Bible an idol, is basically what the conversation became. He said he valued the Bible so much for its content, for its knowledge, for its wisdom. But in the midst of seeking the knowledge and truth of the Bible, he was missing the author of the Bible. There's a danger there for all of us. And I want to caution you along with myself as I'm bringing this message to all of us together, is as we call ourselves to a greater intensity and passion for the Word of God, we're really calling ourselves for a greater passion for the author of the Word of God. We want God. And so because we want God, we want His Word, what He says. Not so that we have knowledge of black and white on a page, but so that we have a knowledge of Him. We want to know God. And one of the most important ways we come to know God is through what He has said to us. So we become people of the Word of God, so that we become people with an ever-growing love for God. And it's the Word of God that reveals the heart of God that then equips us to become the people of God who are successfully living out the life that God has for us. How should you come to faith? Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Where else can we go? Peter said, there's nowhere else to go. You alone have the words of life. It's the Word of God, God's spoken Word, God's written Word, that leads us to salvation. But then God's written Word leads us to being trained and being made fully equipped. And it's God's Word that brings blessing. And it's God's Word that shows us how to resist temptation. And it's God's Word that equips us to be fruitful and effective in ministry. So we become people of the Word, so that we become more in love with God, more like God, more effective for God. As I was thinking about this message, preparing this message, and because I was sick last weekend, I had an extra week of thinking about it. I need to admit to you that this message convicted me. It really convicted me. And I don't know if it might do that for any of you. In my own journey, early on, there was a passion for the Word of God. I used to walk around with little 1x2 cardboard pieces with scriptures written on them that I could pull out and look at and check to see if I'd got it right as I was trying to memorize that verse. I used to be extremely consistent in reading God's Word before heading off to my college classes and reading between breaks. I was much more consistent in going out and sharing the gospel with lost people. and using God's word as a sword to communicate God's love to lost people. I started strong, but what hit me these last few weeks is that I'm not currently ending as strong as I want to be. And I want to encourage you to be praying for me. And I want to encourage you to be praying for yourselves and praying for one another. That wherever our greatest stage of spiritual growth was, we want to return to that same level of growth or greater. We don't want to be coasting into our sunset years. We don't want to be drifting and pulled aside by the distractions of life. We don't want to be becoming more aware of what's going on in the world and less aware what God's Spirit is up to inside of our own heart, what God is saying to us. There's a danger of being so overwhelmed right now with all the stuff that we could be listening to, hearing, being exposed to, and it's keeping us from our first love, from God Himself. I'm thinking ahead to January. I'm preaching this here even in November to give you a little time to get some traction. Would you consider, come January, entering into a season of intensely eating the Word of God? Not just on Sundays, but all week long. Consuming the Word in such a way that it starts changing us again into a greater and greater Christ-likeness, a greater and greater fruitfulness, a greater and greater effectiveness in ministry. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I've noticed some of you go around with a vehicle full of tools. These are amazing vehicles some of you have. All sorts of little doors and compartment on top, full of tools. Something breaks down, you go to this little compartment, you grab this little tool, and you go and you can fix that thing that's broken. It's an amazing ability. The only tool I have that could accomplish that is my cell phone, calling somebody else to come with a set of tools like that. But some of you have the ability, because you are so well equipped, you have so many tools and a knowledge of how to use them, that you can fix broken things. God wants you to be thoroughly equipped to fix the things that are going on around you. Your own character, your own understanding, your own becoming more and more like Christ, but then it branches into your effectiveness in impacting your wife, your husband, your children, your extended family, your community. God wants to use you as an instrument of righteousness, and that happens as you are thoroughly equipped by the Word of God to do the will of God and build the kingdom of God. It comes from the Word. One of the main things we see Jesus using the Word for was to fight off the attacks of Satan. In Matthew chapter 4, it records how Satan came to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God, by the way. But while he was in the wilderness, the devil came there and started testing him. After 40 days of fasting, when Jesus was physically weak, physically tired, the devil attacked him, not realizing that he was actually spiritually stronger after that time of focused attention to the Father and the Word. But the devil attacked him, and he started giving him these temptations. The first one is, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus answered, and do you remember how he answered? Jesus' answer was, "It is written." And then he went on to quote, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." What was that? That was Jesus, who knew Scripture, had been a person to be thinking about Scripture, meditating on Scripture, having Scripture memorized and ready and in reserve, was able to pull it out when the temptation came so he could fight off the attack. But the devil didn't give up after that first one. It goes on to say that then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written." That's the devil speaking, by the way. The devil said, "For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And, oh, on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." You see what happened there? The devil quoted Scripture to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. What has to happen in order for Jesus here and for you and I down the road to be successful at withstanding the attacks of the devil when he uses Scripture against us? We need to know Scripture even better than the devil. Because the devil twists Scripture. The devil uses Scripture in a wrong application, in a wrong way. He might quote it, but to a different point and to a different application. So Jesus says, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Jesus quoted Scripture correctly. And then thirdly, the devil took him into a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And the devil said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Jesus quoted Scripture to fight off the devil. What if Jesus hadn't known Scripture? What if the devil attacks you and you don't know Scripture? We want to be people who are so armed, so prepared, so equipped with Scripture that when the lies of the devil are brought to us, we are quick to recognize them and quick to be able to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to cut down and deflect those attacks. We want to be people of the Word of God. In the beginning of Joshua's ministry, the angel of the Lord appears to him with these instructions. Now, Joshua is transitioning from being second in command to being the leader of the whole people of Israel. And the Lord says to him in chapter 1, verse 8, "This book of the law," the Word of God, "shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." There is a branch within Christianity they call the health, wealth, and prosperity movement. And they get things off. But there are some promises where God is saying, "I want you to have success. I want you to be prosperous." And in that context, what that's meaning is, I want you to be all that I've made you to be. I want you to be the person I've created you to be and to do the ministry I've called you to accomplish. I want you to be spiritually successful in the context I've placed you. If you live in Northwest Minnesota, then thrive there and be an influence for my glory there. And so here is God telling this to Joshua, the key to being prosperous, the key to being successful. Did you catch what it is? He says to him, "Do not let this word depart from your mouth." From your mouth. In order for it to be in your mouth, You need it to be in your head, first of all. In order for it to be in your head, it needs to come through your eyes or your ears. So it's a whole process that's being talked about here. And he uses this crazy word that I don't know if you always have it right in your thoughts. It's the word meditate. But you shall meditate on the Word of God day and night. Now the devil has tried to destroy that word and have satanic alternatives to what it really means. But that word meditate means to think purposely about the truth of God's Word. To dwell on it, to mull it over, to speak it forth. So that's in our mouth, it's going around and around in our mouths. Something that is being chewed on, like a cow chewing on its cud. Gavin, are you in the back? Can you come and help me? See, the Word of God is precious. It not needs to be treated as precious. So stretch your hand out. But let's think of your hand as each finger being a different aspect of how you might receive this word. You think of your first finger as being the finger that hears the Word of God. Can you hold this with just your pointer finger? I mean, that's a little difficult there. You could hear it, and every once in a while you might be able to balance it, but it'd be really easy for me to knock it off, that one finger. If you add in your first finger of hearing and your second finger of reading, can you hold it with two fingers? Kind of, if you really put it back in there, but it falls off really easy. So reading and hearing are good, but they're not enough. So let's add a third finger. Let's add study, three fingers. Study is you're looking at it, you're reading it, you're thinking about how this word relates to that word and how that fits into the context, and you're able to kind of balance it there, but once again, it's really easy for me to take it away from you. So let's add a fourth word. Our fourth finger, let's add memorize. If we add memorize, you got it there pretty well. But we all know that I'm so strong that I could easily take that right off the top of your four fingers. But if you add in that opposing thumb there, which we'll label as the aspect of meditating, now you've got a grip on it. And looking at your arm, I'm not so certain that no matter how hard I pull on that I'd be able to rip that away from you. And I'm not really willing to be embarrassed in front of this crowd by trying. Because you've got it. You've not just read it and heard it and studied it and memorized it. Now you've meditated on it. That gets it just off of the eyes and the ears and through the brain. It's now going around and around inside of you, and you're interacting with God about it. And you've got it. And you're not going to lose it. You can take that with you to the back. That's what we all want to be accomplishing in our lives. We're thoroughly equipped with the Word of God. We're hearing it. We're reading it. We're studying it. We're memorizing it so it's there. And we're meditating on it, thinking about it over and over and over and over. Now, I know some of you have been people of the Bible for years. But there is a danger. There's a danger of becoming complacent. There's a danger of saying, oh, I know the Word. But let me ask you this. Does the Word know you? Do you read the Word, or does the Word read you? Do you study the Word, or does the Word study you? I want to encourage you to picture yourself coming under the Word. The Word being like a banner over the top of you, like a shining beacon under which you step. And you allow God through His Word, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to be doing a transforming work in your life. And don't just stop at the reading and the hearing and the studying and the memorizing, but go on to the meditating on it, which is the mulling it over. four quick words about stages of meditating. It starts with memorizing. You have to get it in the head so you can mull it over. So meditating starts with memorizing. But then it goes on to visualizing. Visualizing is when you're looking at the Word, you're thinking about the Word, you're going over the Word, and you're trying to picture it. You're inviting God, put inside of me an understanding of this truth. Some words are some scriptures are much more easy to visualize, whether it's talking about the shepherd of the sheep or the man who is planted by the streams of the water, who flourishes in season and out and produces the fruit. There's very visual terminology for some scriptures. But you want to visualize it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You're not just asking for random human thoughts. You're asking for Holy Spirit-guided insights as you're visualizing. But then you want to personalize it. Step three is personalize. You're saying, Lord, how does this come alive in me? How does this Word become living flesh in me? How do I let this Word live in me so that God is actually living in me through this Word? You're personalizing it. What does this mean for me to walk this out in my setting, in my situation? And then fourthly, this concept of harmonize. Harmonize. Harmonizing in music is that amazing aspect of where a note is played and then there's another note that is different but somehow sounds so good next to it because it's influenced by it. God wants the Word of God to bring harmony between your spirit and His spirit. He wants the Word of God to be causing your spirit to vibrate in sync with His. The Word is not just, you don't just have a knowledge of the Word, but you let that become something that's inside of you, becoming personal inside of you, becoming a picture of what God's will is for you, but then bringing harmony between His perfection and what He's making you to be. There's a harmonizing that occurs. In closing, my prayer is that you'd be one who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His law day and night. That you'd be a person who's like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, but whatever you do prospers, because the Word of God is living in you. Let's pray. Lord, bring us this love for you and for your Word. Rekindle it if it has faded. Birth it anew if it is yet to be made. Bring us into a revitalization in our walk with you, in our understanding of you, and our love for you and your Word. Lord, cause your words to be dwelling inside of us. Cause us to be known as people of your Word, people who delight in your Word, who think about your Word day and night, who have your Word evaluating our thoughts, who have your Word guiding us throughout the day, who have your Word influencing us as we fall to sleep in the dreams that we have, who have your Word causing us to prioritize your priorities, having your Word causing us to think about people and care for people the way you think and care about them. Lord, what we're asking for is a miracle. We realize it. But we ask in faith that you would make us to be people of your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.